Hello, everyone. Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com, live in his car, driving through frigid Iowa City, Iowa, following Purdue's 90-81 win at, you guessed it, Iowa. This is your goldenblack.com drive home postgame podcast. It is brought to you by our friends at the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn, which I'm hundreds of miles from and will not be driving by this evening. So this was a basketball game, but it was more like a ping pong match. I don't know if ping pong is match or game. I don't know what the proper nomenclature is for ping pong, but it was that. It was back and forth, high scoring, 90-81 Purdue. I don't view it as a indictment of Purdue's defense that it's been winning with ever since Big Ten play resumed. As much as I do, this is just what Iowa does to everyone and probably had to do even more to Purdue because this was their first game without Owen Freeman, who's their leading scorer and their only credible big guy. So you knew they were going to be different. You knew they were going to play small. You knew they were going to play fast. You knew they were going to shoot a ton of threes. And when you do that and when you're shooting before the other team has even changed ends to establish its defense, Purdue's defense has thrived on systematic cohesion. And Iowa just didn't give Purdue a chance to get set a lot of the time. It just was going so fast and jacking up the first shot that came its way. And that worked for it for a while until Purdue's three started going in and until Braden Smith got mad. And Purdue kind of blew it open in the first few minutes of the second half with a three-point shooting deluge, unlike anything you've probably seen outside of Mackey Arena in quite some time. Although Purdue, I think, did set some sort of record in this very arena here a few years ago, if I recall correctly, which I very rarely do. But anyway, this was, Purdue's three-point shooting coming alive, but also, please pardon my turn signal, this was also a testament to Braden Smith's greatness. I have seen him do this many times, high school, AU, and at Purdue, where there comes a point in the game where somebody just has to do something. And he does it. Something to change a game, I should say. And he does it. And this was Purdue basically being played to a standstill by Iowa in the first half. Trey Kaufman-Wren being on the bench with two fouls. And we've been through this topic before about how important Trey Kaufman-Wren is. And Braden Smith just decided he was going to go create shots and he was going to go make shots and he was going to breathe life into his team and he was going to start the landslide that ultimately carried over into the second half and propelled Purdue to this win that looked for a while like it was going to be a blowout win but didn't turn out that way necessarily. But Braden Smith was dominant in this game as a scorer. You know, you've seen him dominate games as a passer, as just a player who dictates how a game is going to go, a guy who just is like a puppeteer to defenses, just makes them do whatever he wants them to do and then plays off of that. You've seen him dominate games at times with defense, even with the turnovers he forces, things like that. But this was a game where he just decided Purdue needed somebody to score. I'm going to go score. And he ends up with 31 points, makes five threes on seven attempts. And just won the game for Purdue, just propelled Purdue to victory. Again, he's got that special knack as a competitor where he can just flip a switch and flip a game. I've seen him do it at all levels. I've seen him do it a number of times at Purdue now, and he's just got that special knack that really only the great ones have. He's a great player, but he, as I wrote in my postgame up on our site at goldenblack.com, he's versatile as a great player. I don't know if that makes any sense or not. It's not just about his versatility as a guard or as a basketball player, but he's versatile as a great player. He's versatile enough to do it as a scorer. He's versatile enough to do it as a defender. He's versatile enough to do it as a passer and facilitator. And he did it as a scorer tonight, and they needed it because, you know, again, we've been through this on Trey Kaufman-Wren. Purdue needs him on the floor. I don't think there's anything fundamentally flawed in what he's doing that's getting him in foul trouble. I think he is playing center, and the center is sort of the guy in the middle that when dribble penetration breaks down, he's kind of left hanging, and he picks up some fouls that way. His only mistake against Indiana was setting those illegal screens at a time when the refs were looking for something to call. I will take that take to my grave, hopefully many years from now. But that was his only mistake against Indiana. Yes, those screens were probably illegal screens, but those are also illegal screens that are set 75 times in every college basketball game nowadays, and they get called when the ref is looking for something to call. And when the fouls are 5-1 against one team, they are looking for something to call. And that was his only mistake. And I've veered off now into talking about Indiana when I should be talking about Iowa. Anyway, Trey Kaufman Wren was dominant offensively against Owen Freeman's stand-ins to start the game. And then in the second half, to finish up what was a 20... Hold on a second. It was a 20... A 25.4 assist game in the second half after Kaufman Wren had roasted Iowa's backup big guys. Iowa started bringing help, pinching down from the wings, and Kaufman Wren basically roasted that with his passing. He hit Fletcher Lawyer for a three on the wing, hit C.J. Cox for a three on the other wing. Braden Smith made a catch and shoot three on a ball reversal. I can't remember if that was Kaufman Wren who threw it to him or not, but once Iowa started bringing help to account for Trey Kaufman Wren dominating the game for the first few minutes, Kaufman Wren beat them that way too. And it speaks to his growth as a basketball player, as a decision maker, his anticipation as Purdue's go-to guy in the post. That's one of the biggest responsibilities of that job. You're the go-to scorer on the block, but you're also the guy who's going to draw a lot of attention and has to make the right play off of that. And Kaufman Wren is doing that, and he's just having a great season, like an All-America-level season. And I think you can just look at what has happened the last two games when Kaufman Wren has not been on the floor because of fouls versus what happens when he is on the floor. And that you cannot illustrate his value any better way than that. He was plus 21 against Indiana. He was plus 15 or whatever it was at Iowa. This is a situation where the plus minus is relevant. You just can't say enough about how valuable he is to Purdue and how much they need him on the floor. Outside of that, Caleb First, another great game for him. 10 points, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, although a couple of those steals were forced by other guys, and he happened to pick up the ball. C.J. Cox was really a pest on defense, forced a couple of those turnovers, including a few of them during the run that really broke this game open for Purdue and allowed them to kind of cruise from there, even though Iowa did make some shots late, and I'm just speaking in circles here. C.J. Cox played really well, I thought. Jakari Harris did some really positive things. Camden Heidi really rebounded, even though he didn't really straighten out his three-point shooting. He made one three. It was kind of a prayer. But Purdue's three-point shooting, which has been pretty mediocre through Big Ten play, they made 5 in the first 5 minutes of the second half. Scored 22 points in less than 5 minutes to open the second half. That shows you how potent Purdue was offensively to open this half after Braden Smith tied it with a buzzer-beating three at the end of the first half. And then the threes just started going in. I think that sort of thing happens to you as Iowa when you're bad on defense. I think 32% shooting teams become 40% shooting teams when they're not defended very well. I've said that about Purdue before on the wrong end of that. And I think that's Iowa's thing. I don't think Iowa really was all that invested in doing anything other than running and gunning today. And that was probably their best chance. I mean, you look where this game was based off Iowa just running up and down the floor and shooting every three that came their way. They damn near pulled it off. You know, they were right there with Purdue through most of the first half. They were within three late in the game. Had a good look to tie it, missed it. And it was just a very unique matchup Purdue had to deal with today, which is why I say I don't think this was necessarily an indictment of Purdue's defense. I think it was just an oddball matchup that probably would have gone the same way for a lot of teams. But Purdue won. That's the most important part of this, obviously. And Purdue's right back in this Big Ten race, if not still the leader, in my opinion, anyway, because I think they're the best team. You got to win games like this. You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, even if it's on the road, where sometimes things get tricky. But that's exactly what Purdue did here tonight. So that's what I got. This is Brian Huber from GoldenBlack.com with your GoldenBlack.com Drive Home Postgame Podcast. If you like this, and you can leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're encountering this on, we'd appreciate that very much. Thank you once again to the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn. I will talk to you guys again this weekend. Wisconsin, Michigan, one or the other, I don't remember. So we'll figure it out the morning of. So thanks, everybody. Bye.